go. All of you, come on, kids. I got some of them are here, not here tonight. Come on. Our Wednesday night Bible class, kids. Let's go. Get up here. Christmas special. Hello. We got to go Christmas caroling pretty soon. We're going to have to get our Christmas songs going here, y'all. I ain't played them since last year. Police got me now. Police got me now. Police got me now. Y'all, that's funny. You can laugh. I don't know the rest of it. I'm gonna miss you when I'm in prison. I'm gonna miss you when I'm in prison. All right, that's enough of my. That's my good. I know some more that we'll sing about them. Hark, you ever heard that one? Hark, the hair-lipped angel sing. Well, we ain't who anymore, King. Amen. Come on up here, Chet. Give that same testimony you did this morning. A lot of our folks was working out in junior church and Sunday school and stuff. And this young man, Brandon, does he give testimonies too? These boys are from way down between Chattanooga and Knoxville, Tennessee. So they got to run through the mountains tonight. So pray for them. Come 4 hours to get here. I never seen him in my life till this morning. But he's one's been putting all those videos on YouTube and. You can look that one up called, they sold their souls for hip-hop. and he's got a bunch of stuff on there, and he's got me preaching on hell for about 5 minutes at the end of it, and it's had like over 100,000 people look at it. That's unbelievable. So say something for the Lord, brother.
Yeah, I got saved listening to Danny's preaching about 3 years ago, and it changed my life, all his sermons, and I take them to work, and I listen to them all day, and it truly got most of the sin out of my life, all my pet sins and stuff. And it's really the first time I ever heard like real Bible preaching and stuff like that, and that's what we really need nowadays. And I really appreciate this church putting all his sermons out there and everything y'all do here. And I can't go to work every day and not listen to it. They actually say I can't wear my headphones at work, but I just put my hood up over my head so I can keep on listening to them all day. y'all were really nice to me here today, and I can't wait to come back again, and I really appreciate everybody in here.
Amen. Y'all need to check that thing out. Y'all on there. Isn't that the name of it? They sold their souls for hip-hop. Man, he's done a good job on that. It's about a 30-minute little program of music and scripture verses and all kind of stuff. He's got that real sleazy old Kesha or whatever her name is. I mean, it's bad stuff. And he's got her on there, and he comes on with me preaching on six surprises in hell. And I'm going to use some of it down at our youth camp, our winter camp in Alabama. We're going to start a sign-up sheet next Sunday morning for everybody that's going to Alabama. It's going to be fun. You don't want to miss it. Camp, winter camp, winter camp. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that. So anybody got a word on the heart you want to say right quick? I got a short message I'm going to bring tonight, just a little short thought I've gave you before, but I want to give you some thoughts, different thoughts on it tonight. Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11. And verse scripture got a hold of me here some time back, and I was reading the Bible here. And let's see here, Andy, if I can't get me on here. Shouldn't be. Amen. All righty. Mark chapter number 11. I got some good ones here somewhere. Mark chapter number 11 tonight. And I want to look at a verse of Scripture. We do want to remind you now that we'll be having Christmas plays on the 22nd on the kids' play and the adult play. Both be on the same night. We're really looking forward to that. Let's see if that does any better. See if that's any better. 1, 2, 3. Mark chapter 11 tonight. Now, I won't be long. I know it's nasty weather outside. These guys got to drive 4 hours, so just real quick tonight. Mark chapter 11. I want you to look at how the Lord gave me this little verse here as I was reading my Bible one day. Mark chapter 11 and verse 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 11. It says here, "And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple." That's where they worshipped in those days. Jewish synagogue, temple. Had no churches. Church wasn't even started yet. But he said he went into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. It caught my eye one day, and I was reading that verse, that middle part of it. It said he had looked round about upon all things. All right, do you ever read the Bible and little phrases jump out at you like that? That happens to me all the time. I don't know if it's just because I'm a preacher or what, or I've learned to look for it. But I was reading the Bible, and it said Jesus came into the temple, and it just said, just out of clear blue, he looked around upon all things. Isn't that a weird thing to put? Why would the Holy Spirit put that in there? Why, I wonder why the Lord would have put the Holy Ghost writing the Bible that was going to last forever and ever, and it took time to put, he looked around upon all things. That's weird, isn't it? And I thought about that, and I thought, you know what? You know what? That's the Lord put that in there for us. If Jesus walked in here tonight, walked in that door in the flesh, And he looked around here, and the Bible said he looked around upon all things. Looked at the choir, looked at the building, looked at me, looked at you. Buddy, you talk about straightening up real quick. If the Lord, he walked in that door and started looking, oh my goodness. Son, we'd put them cell phones down, we'd pay attention, we'd read our Bible, we'd pray. Lord, I'd try to do better preaching, I'd have prayed more, I'd have been more ready. Lord, it'd scare us to death. But the truth is, he is in here looking at us.
Right.
Even though we can't see him, he can see us. Just because you can't see Jesus don't mean Jesus can't see you. And so I want to preach tonight on the subject, he sees you. He sees you. I thought about this, and I remember one time years ago, Carrie, Todd, and Krissa, some of y'all remember years ago, my associate pastor up at in Marion, one time I was going to make a video for Christmas or something, and y'all know what I'm talking about. I had a man put a video camera right up here, and I said, I want a video of the congregation. He said, okay. And he had a video camera here, and it was run. And they run some video, and I got it, and I took it home and watched it, and I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to show it on Sunday night, and I'm going to let you see how you act during church. We're going to video everybody here, and we're going to let you see it. Well, I put the video up there, and my associate pastor was sitting there just nodding off like this. I mean, his eyes, and he's going like that, you know, and he's going down like that. And you know, and then here's somebody else looking up the ceiling, somebody else punching somebody, talking to them. They said, oh my goodness, don't show that. I can't believe you showed that church. I said, well, I got to stand up here and look at that every Sunday. And the Lord sees you. The Lord sees you, don't he? The Lord sees you. The Lord sees you. I wonder if I put a video of you up here tonight, of you this morning, here you just singing, while we were singing, we've heard the joyful sound, Jesus saved. Jesus saved, we've heard the joyful sound, whatever. I reckon Jesus saved. Jesus. Boy, I tell you, it'd make a difference if we realize that he sees you. Bible said the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Did you hear that? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. There's no place where the sons of men can hide themselves. You cannot hide from God. He sees you. I want to say, first of all, this morning, he sees you when you're singing. This evening, he sees you when you're singing. He sees you when you're singing. One of the greatest traditions in America is what we call congregational singing of a church. I'm glad the Lord sees us when we're singing. I'm a firm believer in congregational singing. It's a part of our heritage. A part of our heritage is to come to church, stand, open a hymnal, and sing traditional church hymns. I heard some guy they had on TV, and he was one of these hot shot rapping, sort of a high rock and roll contemporary singer. And they said, well, don't you think that your songs are a little bit, a little bit too much rock? In other words, he said, oh, no. He said, them songs there, when they first come out, preachers preached against them. I don't know about that. They might have somehow, but I don't think they ever preached against them great hymns of the faith. I don't believe they ever got down and boogied to how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. I don't believe that they were looked upon as worldly like we see these songs now. As a matter of fact, you can judge a spiritual temperature of any church by the congregational singing. That puts us pretty low sometimes because some of y'all are weak on our congregational singing. We need congregational singing. When Jason gets up here and says, open your hymnal, everybody ought to get a hymn book and get to it and sing. I know what all of you say. You say, well, I just can't sing. Everybody says that. The Lord didn't say those that are talented. The Lord did not say in the Bible, let everybody who's talented sing. Let everybody who can carry a tune, he says, everything that hath breath, let him praise the Lord. It don't matter if you can sing on tune. I'd rather hear somebody sing on tune and be right with God than to have a beautiful voice and be living wrong, wouldn't you? I'm telling you, he sees you when you're singing. The Lord looks down. He's in, you've heard me say it before. I've been in churches, and sometimes the preacher will have me up here, and I'll just watch, and I'll watch around, you know, and oh my goodness. I mean, you wouldn't believe what goes on during the singing. Some people use the singing time to catch up on fellowship. Some people use the singing time to, I've seen them putting on makeup. I've seen some people looking young and say, well, this don't really count. We'll wait till the preaching before we pay attention. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It honors God when we all stand and we all sing and we sing together. It unites our hearts together in one mind and one accord. It lifts up, praise God. It runs the devil out. There's a significant power in congregational singing that don't come any other way. As a matter of fact, good old-fashioned Holy Ghost congregational singing is the best singing there is. You know, some of them old mountain churches, I've been to them, where some of them, they don't even have a piano player. And they don't even stand up. That old guy will get up there and he'll go, And they'll all start saying, brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. And somebody will get tenor and somebody will get alto. And the first thing you know, boy, that's the Holy Ghost just falls all over that place. I'm telling you tonight, there is something special and precious and good about congregational singing. Make up your mind. You're going to teach your kids to sing. Make them sing. Get them a hymn book. I don't care if they can't read. Let them hold a hymn book there and learn how to grow up singing in church and being a part of the singing part of the worship. Amen. Let them learn how to do it. You've heard me say before, though, here's an average woman in a church. She gets up there and she's singing this. And most of the women, men don't always do it. I hope you don't, men don't do it. All they do the first part of the service is check out what all the other women's got on. Amen. I don't know how they do it, but when you leave, they can tell you, now you know she had, you know that, did you see that dress she had on? Did you see that dress? And I know where she got it. She got it at Sears. I've seen it. And I've heard them say, I cannot believe she bought that dress. She knows I've got one just like it. Well, listen, ain't but so many kinds of dresses. I ain't going to say I can't believe Brother Derek wore that white shirt. He knows I've got a white shirt. Listen, if you gave me $10,000 right now, I couldn't tell you what color shirt he had on this morning. I couldn't. And I sat here and listened to him teach Sunday school. Man, we don't pay attention to stuff like that. But Lord, them ladies. Lord have mercy. I mean, she's sitting there and she's saying, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. That's what she's saying. That ain't what she's thinking. She's thinking, I wonder if that dress she's got on is new today. And if it is, I wonder just how much she had to pay. That's right. That's what she's thinking. Ain't that right? Listen, brother, we ought to get our minds and hearts in one accord and sing and say, hey, brethren, we have met to worship. I long for the day when it gets 6 o'clock and Jason says, hit it, and if she puts them fingers on that piano, that everybody stands and we all sing together and our hearts toward heaven. Buddy, God can get something done in a church like that. It invites His presence. He sees you when you're singing. Number two, He sees you when you're snoring. He sure does. He sees you when you're snoring. Somebody said, preachers don't talk in their sleep. They talk in other people's sleep. That's right. I pray that average Sunday morning Baptist prayer. Now lay me down to sleep. The sermon's long, the subject deep. If he should quit before I wake, hit me up with a gentle shake. That's our average Sunday morning Baptist prayer. Listen, brother, I know people that's where they go to church on Sunday morning, get them a nap. I know one church that started serving coffee after service so everybody woke up enough to get home. That's a sad thing. That's a pitiful thing, brother. When you go to sleep during church, you know, a lot of churches, I hope I don't bore you to death, but I have seen them. I've seen them in here just sitting there, you know, and their eyes start rolling back in their head. I mean, you know, a lot of those churches you go to where the preacher, he gets first gear, he gets second gear, he gets third gear, and he gets into that high hum, you know. there, put you out, man. Just like Chinese food. I mean, you'll go out. That rice will put you out. That's what Dr. Ruckman said. He said, that rice will put you out. And you know what? You eat all that much of Chinese food, you'll just go to sleep. So, you know, you've been up all night long watching TV, and you sit there half the night, your eyes bugged out of your head, and you just barely get in here on Sunday morning, and you're just like that right there. I'm telling you, he sees you when you're snoring. He sees you when you're snoring. Oh, that story where this old man, he went to sleep every service. He went to sleep every single service. And the preacher called this little boy. He said, now listen. He said, I'm going to give you a dime every Sunday if you'll keep Papa awake. And the little boy said, okay. And so every Sunday he'd keep him awake. He'd give him a dime. He'd sit there upside Papa. He'd start nodding off like that, you know, and he'd pull a hair on his leg, you know, or he'd punch him in the stomach, you know, or he'd tickle him in the ribs and he'd keep Papa awake. Well, he did pretty good there for two or three Sundays. And then Papa started falling asleep again, like that right there. And the preacher called him over and he said, now listen, I ain't going to give you a dime no more because Papa's going to sleep. He said, Papa, give me 15 cents to let him sleep. That's right. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight, listen, he sees you when you're snoring. I want to say thirdly tonight, are you listening? We're going to move right quick through this. I said he sees you when you're singing. I said he sees you when you're snoring. Number three, he sees you when you're stealing. He sees you when you're stealing. You say, oh, Brother Danny, if I'm going to steal something, I ain't going to come to church. Oh, you'd be surprised that the people that steal at church. The Bible said, will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? I heard somebody robbed a convenience store. I heard somebody robbed, hey, Lord, we ought to call the cops over here every Sunday. Somebody robbed God. Preach it, brother. Say amen right there. I can't hear you. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, brother, if I made $20 this week, and I made $200 this week, and I didn't put my $20 in that offering plate, I just stole from the Lord. He sees you when you're stealing. He sees you when you're stealing. One man told me, he said, well, I just don't agree with where the church puts that money. Well, you're a hypocrite. Go find you a church that you do agree with and put your money in there. Quit using that for an excuse to steal God's money. If you got God's money in your pocket tonight, you're stealing. He sees you when you're stealing. Malachi chapter 3 said, prove me now, saith the Lord, if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can't receive. You give God what belongs to Him and you watch Him. You know what? He sees you when you're stealing. Preacher took me out. I was out in Montana preaching. And preacher took me out and he was going out and he showed me all kinds of stuff. Antelope and moose. And you can be going down the road out there and there's a big old field out there about 1,000 acres. And there'd be like 500 antelope. And really, I mean, you say, if you got 500 acres there, what do you got? It's like Texas. Texas is so big, they don't go by acres. They go by sections. And a section is like 1,000 acres. That he owns so many sections. And they see all these right there. And you know, he showed me a bunch of sheep. You know what he told me? He said, you know what them sheep do? He said, them sheep get sheared of their wool to make cotton with every year. And he said, if a sheep weighs 90 pounds, you'll get 9 pounds of wool off of it. He said, if a sheep weighs 125 pounds, you'll get 12.5 pounds of wool. He said that sheep gives 10% of their body weight. Whatever their weight is, that's how much wool they produce. They give it back to that shepherd, 10%. Lordy mercy, I about shouted. I said, you're kidding me. He said, no. He said, that sheep weighs 80 pounds. They'll give about 8 pounds of wool. I said, hallelujah. You know, that's what the Lord required. He wanted that 10%. Uncle Sam sure takes more than that. The government sure takes more than that. Hey, a man told me one time, he said, now, on this 10% stuff, preacher, he said, does that mean that I'm supposed to take my money and pay all my bills and give 10% of what's left? I said, uh-uh. Yeah, I hope and pray that ain't what it means. We're out of business if it does. Ain't none of it left, right? Ain't never none left. You give God what's His right off the top. I go to the bank. I get my check cashed. I still do it the old-fashioned way. I take up my tithes and an offering above that every single week. Every single week of my life, and I put it down in my wallet, and when Sunday comes, I throw it in that offering plate right there. I'm telling you, God sees that, and He sees you when you're stealing. He
You say, I can't afford it. That's why you're in the mess you're in. You start honoring God and doing what's right, and God will make that 90% go way further than 100% with a curse on it. Lord, I know some Baptists, they sing through their nose, keep wearing their false teeth out. They're tighter than a bark on a tree. I'm telling you, they're like the old man, the old woman that's sitting eating one day, and is at a restaurant, and the old man, he's just a chowing down like that right there, eating, and the waiter come and said, "What's the matter, ma'am? Isn't the food good?" And she said, "Yeah, but Paul ain't through with the teeth yet." That's pretty stingy, ain't he? Number 3, 4. I said he sees you when you're singing. Number 2, he sees you when you're snoring. Number 3, he sees you when you're stealing. Number 4, he sees you when you're sinning. He sees you when you're sinning. You may have it hid from your wife, but he sees you. You may have it hid from your husband, but he sees you. You may have it hid from your preacher, but he sees you. You may have it hid from your mom or your dad, but he sees you when you're sinning. Let me tell you something, friend. There's a man one time went out in the watermelon patch, and he's had this good little boy with him, and he said, "We're going to steal this watermelon." And he looked this way, and he looked that way, and he looked that way, and he looked that way. He said, "Let's get it." The little boy puts it down, and he said, "Daddy, you didn't look that way. You didn't look that way." Listen, you might look around, young people, and you might think, "Mama don't know, nobody else don't know." You better look up, because there's somebody looking right at you. He sees you when you're sinning. He knows what you do when you're by yourself. And that's why we ought to try to keep our private life clear and clean before God. You say, "Oh, it don't matter, nobody knows." God knows. He sees you when you're sinning. He sees you, young people, when you're talking and cutting up. He sees you when you're cutting up and acting silly and playing games instead of listening to your Sunday school teacher. He sees you when you be a smart aleck, you know, and get smart with your mom and daddy. He sees you when you're on the internet and looking at things you ain't supposed to be seeing. He sees you. You say, "Well, I'm just curious." That's what got Eve in trouble. That's what got other people in trouble, being curious. I'm telling you, he sees you when you're sinning. He sees you when you sneak around, smoke or drink or smoke that weed or try some of those pills or something. The Lord sees you. He sees you. I want to say last of all tonight, I said number 1, he sees you when you're singing. He sees you when you're snoring. He sees you when you're stealing. He sees you when you're sinning. But thank God, he sees you when you're sorrowing. I'm so glad tonight the Lord sees us when we're sorry. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. Now let me tell you something the devil will do. The devil will make sure you heard that last thing I said about the Lord seeing you when you're sinning. And then he'll jump on you. But let me tell you something. God sees you when you bow your head and ask him to forgive you too. Amen? The devil don't want you to focus on that. He wants you to think, "Oh, you've sinned now and God hates you, and you've sinned now and God's never going to forgive you." Listen, he sees you when you're sorrowing. The Bible said the old prodigal son went out there one day. He wasted his substance with riotous living. I mean, he partied. He got drunk. He lived it up. He hit the clubs. He hit the high spots. He hit the dance halls. He lived up. And then, buddy, one day he hit rock bottom. And he said, "I'm sick of this mess. I'm getting out of this. I'm leaving here." And he took off back home. Old wicked pig slop all over him. The world all over him. And headed back. You know what the Bible says? The Bible said his daddy, the father, was sitting over there at the big house and looked up and sees him afar off. I'm glad to say tonight, thank God. Listen, the Lord sees us when we're sinning, but thank God he sees us when we hit this altar and we look up and say, "God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry." The father saw him afar off and went and embraced him and forgave him. Listen, let me tell you something tonight. If you've confessed your sin, if you've left your sin, if you've repented of your sin, if your sin under the blood, you forget about it, you walk away from it, you leave it behind. Thank God he sees you when you're sorrowing. He sees you. I was preaching one night down in South Carolina, and I'll tell you this, and I'm going to be through. And I preached something, I forgot what I was preaching about some kind of sin or something like that, and how sin gets you in trouble. And I got when I got through, this woman She's about 40 years old. She come to the altar just bawling. I mean, she was all to pieces, bawling her eyes out. And they crowded around her and was praying, and people was praying. And I could tell, I thought, Lord, everybody in here must know her because people was crying all over the church. I had no idea what was going on. And they stood her up right here, and she stood like this in front of the whole church. And sometimes, when you commit open sin and everybody in the church knows it, there might be a need for an open confession. Repentance in front of the whole church. That's what y'all do. If private sins we confess to private, public sins we confess public. So if everybody knows it and you went and shot somebody, you got arrested and everything, stand up and say, I want the church to forgive me. Clear it. Get your name cleared. Cleared it. Get it right. She stood there like this, and the pastor stood beside her and put his hand on her shoulder, and he said, everybody knows what this woman's been through. And something had happened. She was having an affair with this man or something. Somehow the story went that she had went with this man, the guy she was having an affair with, and they went over to her husband's house, and the man came out and shot him. Killed this man. Killed him. And they shot and murdered this man, and both of them had went to prison. The man and the woman. Because they had both, I guess they figured they was both guilty. I don't know. Somehow or another, she'd went to prison and she'd got out. And she came there and stood before the church and asked forgiveness. And the pastor said, the Lord's forgive her. Does the church forgive her? And everybody nodded her head and said, amen, you know, and everything. And you know what? I don't know whatever happened to that woman. I've never seen her since. But you know what she can do? She can look up and say, you know, God saw me when I sinned and I paid for my sin. But thank God He also saw me when I was sorry. And He saw me when I... And listen, if you've repented of your sin tonight, don't you let the devil throw that thing up at you and tell you God didn't forgive you. You might have a hard time with it. Your family might have a hard time with it. Your husband, your wife, your kid. People don't forget it that easy. But I'm going to tell you, if you've repented of something, if you've turned to God, He saw you when you repented. Thank God He sees us when we get down. I'm so happy. I'm so glad tonight that when I get down and say, Lord, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. I mean, that He sees me. See, the devil will make you think that God only sees you when you're sinning. But He also sees you when you're sorry for your sin. I'm glad tonight that He sees us. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. Nobody's...